Caltech is a world-famous engineering and science institute, and the fact that Caltech is located in Pasadena is a reason to be proud. And it's a pleasure to be joined by Cindy Dale. She's the Director of Campus Programs. 35 Nobel Prizes to faculty and staff over the years, right?
Yes, in fact, 35 ends up being more than any other single institution nationally, and I even think internationally.
Caltech manages JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and then introduce us a little bit more.
Well, Caltech is unique among higher education. It stands as one of the leading research institutions in the world. Many years, it's actually ranked as the number one research institution in the world. It is very small in its own way. It has about 1,000 undergraduate students, 1,200 graduate students. To give you an idea where the emphasis is, its ratio of faculty to students is 3 students to every faculty person. The whole concept behind Caltech is that really is it as a research institution. Their mission is really to expand human knowledge that will benefit society through research integrated with education. The researchers work with the students hand in hand. And the whole first year that they're at Caltech as freshmen, they basically don't really receive grades. They receive instruction, how to learn, how to research, and move quickly up the understanding ladder with the researchers so they can become an asset in the labs.
Many people turn to Caltech when there's an earthquake. You have your own media center for it, right?
That's correct. It's right on the Caltech campus, and the researchers are in the building. Most people probably are familiar with Lucy Jones, as she's been around for decades. I know I've always tuned in for Lucy's word on what's going on. She's moved a bit into research, and she's still called back from time to time, but many of her colleagues are now answering that call for us. But it is a good place to tune in if you want to find the correct answers.
It is a phenomenal place with discoveries and research, so much going on, including community programs, which is what we want to talk about because you specialize in this. What are some of the opportunities that Caltech offers?
Well, we do twofold. We offer the research from the research community. The 6 divisions and JPL have many great events that are coming out of them that we help support. Like, for instance, coming up very soon on PBS is the film The Farthest, which is a documentary that JPL put together on Voyager. And it documents the 40 years of research and the fact that Voyager is still sailing out beyond our current solar system, collecting data for us. It's the only instrument that humankind has put beyond the solar system. And that's a 90-minute documentary that the public gets to watch. So we're involved in that kind of creation, which is, you know, spectacular to be able to not just do the research, but provide a venue for the public to be able to share in that.
I love it. There are some pretty cool events coming up around the holidays, too, and you've got an exciting fall calendar with dance, music, artists, films for kids. Tell us about that.
Our programming is multifaceted. We not only create our own curated programs for the Caltech Live series, which will include for the holidays the Alley Cats, who are a doo-wop group singing Jingle Bell Holiday Rock. And it's going to be a lot of fun for families at all ages. But we also pair up with the Coleman Chamber Orchestra and Music Center. They have been a tradition at Caltech since 1922, I believe. And they're one of the oldest chamber groups in the United States. We also pair up with the Pasadena Folk Society. So those are two areas that we don't program in Caltech Live as much because we already have 2 really great series that we're also promoting. But in the Caltech Live series, we start out our fall in October with Lily Cai, who's a Chinese dancer, and she blends contemporary and modern dance together. And then we follow that up throughout the year with some other great performances by Adonis Puentes, Cuban music. We like to have one program each year that is kind of on the edge of art technology, and we have Miwa, who's a local Los Angeles artist, where she really puts motion and image together with the human form to talk about the earth. And it's a multimedia presentation, so it's a fun way to experience science and art together.
That sounds like a very interesting experience.
Yeah, and this year what we've done is we've expanded our Science Saturdays program, and we've added 4 new programs to that series, and it's 4 o'clock matinees on Saturdays, All these dates are available on the Caltech Master Calendar that anyone can visit. The Science Saturdays give us an opportunity to highlight the doctoral candidates and postdocs that are at Caltech, where they come forward and they talk about their research or interests in science. They put together very unique points for those presentations, and then they use film from a special bank that museums and science centers can access, which we do. And then they wrap it up and they bring it back to the PowerPoint at the end. They bring up questions, they help you answer them. And it's just a really good way to learn something about science in a fun and entertaining format.
Life challenges of life is one of them coming up, right?
Yes.
And then you have the school day programs, the Real Science series.
Yeah, that's R-E-E-L, mm-hmm. as in film reel. Similar sort of format, but this focus is really for the K through 12 schools. Mm-hmm. We probably hit more the third grade through about middle school, some high school students. But that one, we actually pose the questions out to the audience. We give the kids a chance to participate in a kind of Socratic environments where they come up on stage and help answer those questions with the scientists.
Nice. So one of them coming up is Ice Worlds, discovering the Arctic and Antarctic.
Yeah, once again, we have researchers who actually go to the poles on a regular basis, and this is where they'll spend from 3 to 6 months doing research, and then they come back to Caltech and they work on all that data that they found. And being able to benefit from not just the researchers that are in the lab, but all of the postdocs and the doctoral students and graduate students who work with them on all that data.
Space Boldly Go is another one that's coming up for kids. They can see it.
That's within the series. Mm-hmm. What we found is that there is so much at Caltech and JPL that is related to space.
Yeah.
And so many of our programs are around that, not just Earth-based, but what we've also found is that a lot of the Earth-based research is really prepping us for what are we going to be seeing on these foreign bodies that we're beginning to investigate? What is Mars like? Where do we go on Earth to find a similar setting as that? What do we look for when we're looking at a planet to see if there's been water that before? You know, we look at first the Earth to see what patterns to identify, then we go out and find them in space.
Those are great topics, too, for people because we're wondering about that, you know, life on other planets, what would it be like? And then just all sorts of questions about the universe. And so to be able to hear lectures and hear Caltech experts and have them lead films for the kids, it's an incredible experience.
You know, it is. And I know in addition to the series that we've been talking about, we also offer the very famous Ernest Watson lecture series. And that one, we feature our full faculty. And they come in and they tell us basically what are they doing in the labs every day? What mm-hmm. are they finding out? How does that apply to our lives today? And where are they going to go with this information? Just to have access to these individuals is just so unique. We offer one a month during the academic year, so 9 throughout the year. And it's just every single lecture I go to, I just leave going, oh my gosh, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there every day.
You're right. You're there every day and you're still astounded. I have been to one for black holes.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was very cool. So when does the lecture series start? Do you just check the calendar?
Yeah, most of this programming I'm talking about begins in October and it uh-huh. runs through May. And this year, as you mentioned, we have some really interesting one. For instance, with the Voyager event happening, there will be speakers around that. And there's another big marker in space this year, and that's the end of the Cassini mission.
Oh.
And the Cassini mission is ending on September 15th, mm-hmm. and we're going to have Linda Spilker, who is the project scientist, and she'll be talking about going out in a blaze of glory as this, NASA will be documenting this on NASA TV mm-hmm. as it crashes into Saturn.
Cassini is a...
It's a satellite.
Okay.
So it's a satellite that's been orbiting around, mm-hmm. taking amazing images for us. And not just pictures. They're also picking all kinds of data up on what the atmosphere is. Mm-hmm. They can actually project onto Saturn and other planets as they go around. And they can project back and know what it's made out of and what gases are there. That's how far the science has come.
That's in the lecture series?
That will be in the Ernest C. Watson lecture series. And her talk is on November 1st.
If you're wondering, where does all this happen on the campus? You've got Beckman Auditorium. You've got a couple of places where people go.
Yeah, our two major places are, in fact, Beckman Auditorium, as you mentioned. That's about a 1,200-seat auditorium. And our next major venue is the Rhema Auditorium, and that's about 400 individuals. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, for some of our large concerts and actually the Cassini event ending, we'll be out on the Beckman Mall. Mm-hmm. And so we actually bring in LED TVs and screens to be able to show them in the middle of the night because it just so happens Cassini is dropping at 4:30 in the morning. Uh-huh. So my call time that night is 1 a.m., so that should be a lot of fun. And it's interesting working with the scientists because when we started planning, they said, well, do you think people will come at that time? Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, yeah, they'll come.
And people were very excited about the viewing at Caltech, yes. The viewing parties that went on with the eclipse.
And actually, either through JPL website mm-hmm. or Caltech specifically, you can go on and click on any of the divisions and or just the Institute itself and JPL itself, and you can tune into NASA TV from home or on your computer.
All right.
And so we're encouraging people to do that. So anytime you're interested in something, you go, I wonder what's going on in Jupiter. Uh-huh. Then go into NASA at JPL and type in Jupiter, and you will find a link, and it will tell you what's going on right now. And a lot of it you get to see live.
What's the website for Caltech?
You can just go to caltech.edu.
If you want to get involved, if you love the idea of helping Caltech, you can do that in a couple of different ways. And one of them is...
Yeah, the Caltech Associates is a group of individuals that come together at different giving levels to help support the Institute. They support scholarships for students. They support research in the labs. And it's through their work and their fundraising and donations that we're able to do what we do. If you join as a member, you get to go on all these great opportunities with mm-hmm. our faculty. In fact, we just sent 51 people to Oregon to experience the eclipse together. And we sent two scientists with them to lead that team of mm-hmm. associates to be able to really understand what it was all about. So it's a unique opportunity, but the Caltech Associates is the place to go, and also to give young people an opportunity to go to Caltech. Our biggest goal is to be able to ultimately be tuition free. Mm-hmm. So scholarships is high on our priority list right now.
That's how you can help. That's great. And you've got the perks.
Yes, we do.
The beaver is Caltech's mascot, and you can figure out why.
Yeah.
Right.
It's because the beaver is considered nature's engineer.
Yeah. And also, since Halloween is coming up, there is something called the pumpkin drop.
Yeah, the pumpkin drop. That is very funny because it's one of the houses. The houses at Caltech are kind of like a Harry Potterish mm-hmm. sort of format. And one of the houses adopted this program some years ago where they actually take pumpkins and they freeze them with liquid nitrogen, and then they cordon off the area around the tallest building on campus, and then they drop them. And so, as I understand, the Dabney House started this in 1972. Mm-hmm. So it's a tradition that's been going on for quite some time.
Very creative. I also wanted to mention before we go that Caltech has been around for a long time, established in 1891, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Cindy, for talking to us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.